I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, we will have another perspective on a critical milestone in the nation's history. Washington, D.C. began offering marriage licenses to same-sex couples this week, the sixth jurisdiction to do so. We heard from the first couple in line to get a license. Today, we will hear from one of the country's most outspoken opponents of same-sex marriage about how he is responding to these developments. Bishop Harry Jackson Jr. is with us. That's just ahead. But first, we turn to a milestone in Iraq. Parliamentary elections in Iraq began yesterday and continue through this weekend. The vote will determine not only which political parties will gain or lose power, but also who will become the next prime minister. The election comes at a crucial time for Iraq. It's the first nationwide election since U.S. troops withdrew from major urban areas last year, the first step toward an eventual withdrawal of U.S. troops. Some 18 million Iraqis are expected to cast their ballots within the country's borders. But meanwhile, another 2 million will cast their votes from abroad. And that includes thousands of Iraqis currently living in the U.S. Polling stations have been set up in eight cities around the U.S., including Chicago, Phoenix, and just outside Washington, D.C. And voting here begins today. So we decided to call two Iraqis living in the U.S. who will be going to cast their votes this weekend. Andy Shalal is a businessman here in Washington, D.C., and Ara Alan is an Iraqi youth activist in Atlanta. And I welcome you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, Andy, it's nice to talk to you again. You're well known as a businessman in the Washington, D.C. area. You own a number of popular gathering places called Busboys and Poets. And I understand that you're at a polling place in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington, where you'll be casting your vote. What's it like there?
Well, it's a little quiet. I mean, with the exception of a lot of media, a lot of other people, sort of officials, there's not a lot of people voting. It looks like a very slow trickle of people.
What was the process you had to go through to get there, to figure out where to go? I mean, do you have to show ID, that kind of thing?
Well, it's in a hotel. It's at a Hilton right outside of Washington, D.C. in Arlington, Virginia. And you walk in, you get passed down, make sure that, you know, you're not bringing anything illegal inside. And then you go upstairs, you have to show two forms of ID. And then you proceed forward through a gauntlet of media. And then you go inside where the polling place is. And they hand you this very large, thick ballot that you have to go through and be able to figure out all the information that you need to figure out. I did not feel comfortable voting today because when I received this big, giant piece of information, I wanted to have a chance to be able to spend time to look at it, and they said it'll take about 2 hours, for me to really look through it and be able to understand it. And I said, I don't have time right now, so I'm going to come back again tomorrow to be able to spend more time and be able to make a proper assessment of who I would be able to vote for.
And you can do that? You can take the materials with you?
No, you can't.
You can't.
I was not allowed to be to take the material with me.
Okay, I see. Well, you had to go through a gauntlet of media, but you know, at U.S. polling stations, you have to go through a gauntlet of candidates waving stuff at you. So,
right.
Is it similar? I guess.
But the problem here is this lack of information. I mean, I asked. I said, "Do you have information of candidates? Do you have anything?" They said, "No. I've been in line for the past 4 or 5 days trying to find information on many of these candidates." And if you really dig deep, you can find little things on the different candidates, but there's like sample ballot, for example, to be able to look at.
I see. Ara, are you having the same experience there? Is it hard for you to figure out who you want to vote for and stuff like that?
I think I agree with Andy. It is difficult because this is the first time it's an open direct election and we can actually choose the candidates. In the past, we would just choose for the list that you would vote for. And the list could have consisted of the alliance of different political groups. But now you can choose a list and then actually select the candidates that you want based on the city that you're from. So it's broken down more. So there's a lot more detail to it. And you have to do your homework a lot to actually know who to vote for. And like Andy said, sometimes it's just not possible to have the time to listen to all these different candidates from different lists and to actually make a selection.
Now as I understand, you're helping to gather a group to travel to Nashville to vote. How is that going?
That's going well. I am with the Kurdish Cultural Center in Atlanta, and we're gathering most of the Kurds in Atlanta, and we're going to head up to Nashville. We're very excited about it, but Nashville is kind of far from us. It takes us four and a half hours to get there. So we found the best way to do it is to carpool, and this way we can make sure that most people come out to actually go to vote. We've done this in the past elections as well.
And you know, of course, the Kurds have, there's been a what's the word I'm looking for, a complicated or fraught relationship with kind of the broader Iraqi government. So, Avra, do you feel that the Kurds are perhaps more motivated to vote than other people because of that, or do you have any sense of that?
Certainly, yes. We find it, this election, that there's a risk to it for us as well. There's a lot of key issues that we want to make sure that get passed through the Iraqi election, like the follow-up on the Article 140, which determines the fate of Kirkuk. And so the Kurds, we are very concerned about this issue. And that one of the major reason, most of the people here says we're going to go vote for Kirkuk, meaning that we want to have Kurdish parliament members in Iraqi parliament that will make sure the Article 140 get implemented.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Avra Alon and Andy Shalal. We're talking about elections in Iraq, and they are living in the U.S. and are eligible to vote from there. Andy, what about you? Why are you so motivated to vote? What's at stake for you in this election?
Well, a person that was born in Iraq, I wanted to succeed. I wanted to move forward, and I wanted to become more and more democratic. So this is exercise.
We're having a little trouble hearing you, Andy, so I'm going to ask if you could move to a different sort of location. How's that going? Okay. Try again. Better. Okay.
This is more of an exercise in democracy. I'd like to see Iraq move into a democratic process. I think it's heading in that direction. I think the bar has been said that it's pretty low, and I understand that. This is a sort of the beginning stages of a democratic process, and it's not a bad thing. So it's all about process right now, more than really who's being voted for. A lot of these people have been faces that Iraqis are very familiar with. You know, many of them are not very savory, but there's a lot of complications in the process of voting, and people need to learn how to do that in order for them to be represented in government.
I think it's fair to say that there have been, religious divisions or sometimes ethnic divisions, Andy, in Iraq that have sometimes determined people's perspective on these issues. But as we know, and from other places where they have these divisions seem very important in the home country, sometimes when people live elsewhere, they seem less important. And I wanted to ask Andy, to the degree you feel comfortable, I just wonder, what is the frame that you use for you to make the decision? I mean, I don't know. Is it religious, where you live, geographically, where you're from? What's the most,
There's a lot of party affiliations. So you have to actually vote for party in order for you to vote for the candidate. You can't just vote for the candidate. If you just vote for the candidate, you're disqualified. The ballot is disqualified. So you have to pick a party, and then you pick the candidate that would fall under that party. There are three basic sort of frameworks. There's sort of the Western-backed kind of Alawi type who is more secular. And there's like the nationalist, like the Maliki, who is already in government right now. And there's, of course, then the religious extremists. And, Ahmed Chalabi is involved in that group. So there's a basic framework of what we're working with here. Of who we can elect to the parties.
Do you feel, Andy, any responsibility for trying to get other Iraqis living in the U.S. to participate in the process?
I think the process is really important. I think, voting, whether it's really representative or not, and, I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch of, fraud issues and all things that will come up, I think really do get people engaged and focused on moving the country forward. And if we are all interested in doing that, then I think it's a useful exercise at this point, and also a way to get the the Americans out, because this is the beginning of the process of having Iraq have its sovereignty back. Right now, as there's at least 100,000 American troops, along with about equal number of contractors still there. Supposedly by August of 2011, all these people are supposed to go out, and so unless Iraq has a sovereign presence, it's going to be much more difficult for them to adhere to that kind of timeline.
And Avra, same question to you. I understand that the issues of being Kurdish and the issues of the people of Kurds in Iraq are paramount for you. But are there other issues that you're prioritizing in figuring out whom to vote for?
Yes, certainly. I think the way the Iraq election is taking place now, yes, we have a lot more parties from the previous elections, but it's still along the religious and ethnic lines. We don't have a uniting party that's for all Iraqis, that all the different groups can find themselves in it comfortably. So therefore, people are voting for different political parties, but they're still voting within their own either ethnic or religious groups. And I think for the Kurds, it's the same way. We have different choices as well, but in the same time, we're still voting based on the Kurdish parties. And so therefore, there's a little bit of difference in certain ideologies among the Kurdish political organizations, and people are voting for one of those based on which one they prefer.
And finally, I wanted to ask, are people back home in Iraq offering any feedback here to you? Are they saying this guy is good and we like this or something like that? Or are you hearing from people who are politicking from a distance, as it were?
Sure. Election is an exciting time, especially for somewhere like Iraq, when we don't have much experience with that and it's still a new thing. So everybody's excited about it, from kids age 5 years old to old people, basically 90s, 95 years old. They're all excited about it. Everybody has their own candidates, and they're advocating for their own people who they want to vote for. And it's an exciting time. So, yeah, we get a lot of feedback from different relatives and who are voting from different organizations. So it's not like all of them are voting for one political party or the other.
Okay. Andy, finally, I wanted to ask you, you're very involved in things going on in the Washington, D.C. area. Your restaurants are a sought-after gathering place for American politicians and their staffs. I mean, it's one of the places people often go to watch election returns. So are you getting excited about it or not? I can't really tell from talking to you.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm a lot more excited about this time than the last time that the election was taking place. I think this election seems fairer. I think it's more inclusive. I think more for people, and the candidates are actually visible. They're out in public. They're actually campaigning. This is something new Iraqis have not seen.
All right. Thanks. Well, keep us posted. Andy Shalala is a businessman here in Washington, D.C. Ra Alan is a youth activist living in Atlanta. Both are heading to the polls this weekend to cast their votes in Iraq's parliamentary elections. Gentlemen, I thank you both so much.
Thank you, Michelle.